So Friends of the Earth has been campaigning to stop fracking now for about 8 years in total. And it's been a long, it's been an arduous fight to stop it across England, Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland. And the good news is in three of those nations, fracking hasn't happened and fracking isn't going to happen anytime soon. So we can start with a positive cheer for Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, where fracking has not happened. And that's down to some pretty incredible activism across those nations as well. But it's also amazing activism, amazing passion from campaigners across England that are helping prevent it, delay it and resist it so far as well. And what I wanted to look at a little bit this afternoon is a bit about what's happened and how Friends of the Earth's gone about trying to support communities in resisting fracking. And then perhaps, if we can, sharing some stories that we may have from each other and our involvement in fracking campaigning around how we found it. And then we can do some questions as well. And then I think Sam's going to come up and talk a little bit around some of what the Quakers have been doing around fracking as well. So that sound good to folks? Good. Can you all hear me well as well? I should have double checked on that. That's all good. Okay. So I'm going to stand up because it feels a bit weird sat here. It feels like a slightly weird level. So bear with me if I move around lots. Apologies to the chap on sound over there who I can't see, but I'll try and not bang the mic too much. So fracking for me, it feels more personal than most. So I grew up in a town called Ormskirk in West Lancashire. It's a short drive from there up to some of the sites where fracking is proposed and where fracking is likely to imminently begin, particularly at Preston New Road, which is on the road going out from Preston over to Blackpool, in that space as well. And it's where a number of the test drill sites were carried out in around 2010, 2011 sort of time as well. And it's all around that time of sort of a real sort of narrative of like fracking's our solution for all sorts of things. Fracking can get us out of this problem, that problem, another problem. Fracking will be a new industry that creates loads of jobs. Fracking will meet our energy needs. And over the last few years, all of those ideas have been busted as concepts as well. We've seen no fracking happening. We know that fracking will contribute more to climate change by releasing more carbon into the atmosphere. It puts at risk water supplies. It uses up huge quantities of water, which, having had a summer where we've had very little, and slightly ironically right now, it's disproving me, water through the summer as well, it puts that at risk. It uses all sorts of things that we don't want to happen. And it's not creating more jobs for communities. In fact, a number of the sites were seeing a lot of Americans being brought in to help run those sites as well. So a lot of the ideas that were out about 8-9 years ago about fracking have been sort of steadily knocked off the list of things that are happening in reality. But why hasn't fracking started in England yet? I think there's really three key areas for us where that resistance has made a big difference. But before we get into that, I want to just reflect on something which is completely not fracking related at all. Back in the early 90s, the Conservative government at the time proposed a whole swathe of road building projects across the country. And a number of them were met by massive protests. So who remembers the big protests at Newbury for the Newbury bypass? Hands up if you remember those. Hands up if you're involved in any of them. I'm trying to see. I can't see very well at all here. Can't see any hands. No one involved then. So when I say Newbury, sorry? M4 as well, yeah. Yeah, and the M4. I know one of the things that happened with the M4 was that I know the Oxford Friends of the Earth group actually bought some land to help protect certain areas, which quite sort of, it's like a remarkably simple solution, really, is buy the land so it can't go through that space, but do that. When I say Newbury bypass protests, what comes to mind from your memories of that time? Swampy. That's an excellent one. My best friend from university, his dog, his childhood dog, was named Swampy after those protests. Any other memories of those protests? Yeah. Michael Horton. Yeah. Yeah. And what characterised those protests, do you feel? From your memories of them, what was it that characterised those road building protests? I'm testing your memories on a... Yeah. Resistance in numbers, in sites, in communities across the country. And what we saw with Newbury was the bypass was eventually built. It was built there, but there was so much resistance to it, they scrapped a whole load of other road building projects as a result. So whilst that was lost, a range of other roads were no longer built. And this is what we're looking for now with fracking in England. So we've got a situation where, in all likelihood, fracking will start in Preston New Roads at any time now. All the gear's being brought on site. At any point, fracking is likely to begin in Lancashire, having kept England frack-free for the last 7 years, 7.5 years or so now. But we should see that not as a moment of despair, not as a moment of failure, but a moment which we go, we use the stories of resistance from Preston New Roads in Lancashire to inspire others around the country and say, this isn't the start of a brave new era of fracking across England. This is the death throes of a dying industry and one that won't take hold within the rest of the UK. Now, that can only be done because of the quite astonishing campaigning that's gone on in communities, particularly in Lancashire, but from all across the country as well, in places like Rydale in Yorkshire, down in Sussex and Surrey, where there's been resistance there as well. And there's real three things, I think, for me, that's really characterised that resistance over the last 7 or 8 years. And the first one really is around community and the community's role in this. In all of those sites, it's been really characterised by how communities have come together, real unusual groups of people who perhaps you wouldn't see together in everyday life have come together, have learnt and listened to each other first and foremost. They've listened to their fears, their concerns for one another. They've listened to how they fear their health could be put at risk. They've listened to how they fear their jobs and homes could be put at risk because of this. And they've listened to each other and they've understood each other. And they've come together to plan and look at how they can resist that going forward. And for Friends of the Earth, it's been crucial for us that we've understood that along the way. So a lot of our time, a lot of my team's time is spent sat with communities, working with them, listening to their challenges, their needs. And sometimes that can be as simple as a staff member sitting and having a cup of tea and cake. Now up at Preston New Road, just down the road from the site, there's a garden centre with a lovely cafe which does some absolutely amazing cakes. It's well worth it. If you go up there ever to visit there, go down there for a piece of cake and a cup of tea. It's well worth it. But that's where some of the best conversations are started during that. It's sat down together, listening to each other and being able to plan together. The second thing is around empowering communities, allowing communities to make decisions themselves and get their voices heard. Now, in Lancashire, you've seen mass protests from people who live in the towns and villages and areas around the Preston New Road site and other sites across the board. And they managed to pressurise their council into not allowing fracking to go ahead, only to see then the government centrally overrule the council, overruling local democracy, local decisions, local views as well, to try and force it through in that space. But it's been crucial that the community feels that they have agency in this, that they are the ones who can challenge this, they are the ones that can stop this, because it's their community, it's their land, it's their environment, it is on their doorstep as well. And you meet some utterly amazing people. So Friends of Earth's got a group in central Lancashire, and a lady that helps run it's called Dot. I'm not sure if any of you have come across Dot, but Dot's quite amazing. I think she's retired, she's got grandchildren, but she's down at that site helping organise the protest most weeks down there. I visited up there a few months ago, and she was the one to meet me off the train, to pick me up, to take me down, making sure I'd had food and stuff and had a drink and that. But that empowerment and those people, the embodiment of that resistance, is their community. It's critical that we continue to support them and give them the space and the voice to be able to stop what's going on at Preston New Road. I think a good example of where I've seen that come to life in other areas as well is over in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland's a pretty unique case at the moment. So while fracking's not going ahead there, you've got this slightly depressing situation where power sharing's collapsed and there's a real democratic deficit going on in Northern Ireland. And Northern Ireland's like the Wild West of environmental stuff right now. All sorts of awful stuff is going on in Northern Ireland in communities up and down that area. I mean, one of the communities in a little tiny wee place called Greencastle in Tyrone, a company called Delrinium, which is a Canadian mining company, set up there to mine for gold. Now, when I first heard this, I was a bit surprised that gold mining was still a thing, really. It's not the thing you fully expect to hear about, but there's a gold mining operation there. And they set up without a load of the checks that should have been happening. And that community got together to try and resist it. And the first community meeting they had, 90 people turned up, which is pretty astonishing. 90 people turned up. The second meeting they had, 700 turned up. 700. Now this, I can't emphasize enough how remote that part of Northern Ireland is. It really is really remote. Absolutely stunning part of the country. The middle of nowhere. All these people piled into the local GAA hall to come together to plan how to resist. And then they went up to near where the site is and started setting up. And one of the big things, issues with the gold mining up there is they use a load of chemicals, which one of the byproducts of which is cyanide, then what goes into the water system in that space. So really pretty awful stuff. And the community wanted to resist this, and they've done sort of all sorts of amazing stuff, but there's two real stories that I think can be inspiration for fracking campaigners, particularly in England. The first one was two of the young people from the community decided to go over to Delrinium's big annual mining conference in Canada. Now, these are two young people who had never really been involved in activism before, hadn't had much in the way of training and support, but they got tickets, they went over to Canada, they turned up, and they managed to ask questions of Delrinium's CEO there and there. So you've got these two youngsters who have gone all that way to challenge firsthand this company and their behaviour in their hometown, in the home community as well. The second one is with a lady called Fidelma. Now, Fidelma is in her 70s, by her own admission, had never had any sort of interest in any sort of activism or campaigning all her life until this turned up on her doorstep. And she's motivated to campaign on this because of her grandchildren. She wants her grandchildren to be able to enjoy the countryside where they live the way she has all her life as well. Our colleagues at Friends of the Earth in Northern Ireland have been supporting Fidelma to be a litigant in person to bring a judicial review against the decision to allow this mining to go ahead without a number of checks in place. And I first met Fidelma the morning the case was initially being heard. So we went into the court in Belfast and we went up the stairs. It was in one of the courts right at the back of the building. And Fidelma's just sat there outside the court quite calmly. And James, who's our director out there, introduced me to her. And Fidelma was more interested in just chatting about me, why it brought me over and stuff like that, rather than like trying to focus. I think if I'd been about to go into court to try and challenge someone, I'd been sat there with my knees shaking, pretty terrified. But Fidelma relaxes, you like. So she goes in, she sits down, and I kid you not, you've got the courtroom, and on the left-hand side, there's there Fidelma sat there. At the front, you've got the judge, and on the right-hand side, probably about 10, 15 lawyers from the mining company. Just completely outnumbered. And so Fidelma gets up. She's got a big sack of papers. She introduces herself really personally to the judge and gets going. And she's beginning to introduce her case for the grounds for the judicial review to be heard. And she had 11 grounds that she thought she could get heard on. And before she went in, she thought she might get on 4 or something like that. Anyway, she starts going through the papers, start going through the case, and she's introducing, and she goes to the court, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a legal specialist, but I've read this book on judicial review in Northern Ireland. She literally picks up the book and holds it up there. So this is like proper courtroom drama at this point. She's holding up this book. She goes, I've read this book. I've used this to be able to make sure I'm following the right practice. And the judge puts her hands up and tells her to stop. She stops and goes, I'm not sure if you're aware, but the gentleman who wrote that book is in the court today and he's representing the defendants in that case. I've never seen a man go whiter quicker than he did at that moment in time. Just absolute sheet white straight away. And Fidelma, quick as a flash, this is someone with no legal experience, first time in the court, quick as a flash, turns to him and goes, your book's excellent. Thank you so much for writing it. At which point, somehow more colour went from his face at that stage. Anyway, she goes through the case in the last number of hours. And then a couple of weeks later, she got the results back. She thought she might be able to win it on 4 grounds. She won it on 7. Fidelma, one individual, one person who was committed enough to listen to her community, to hear what was going on, to read up, to spend the time learning the legal processes, then took on 10 to 15 lawyers on her own in court and won the grounds for judicial review. And it's quite amazing what that does. Utterly inspiring. And for campaigners who've been working on fracking in England over the last years, we should take that as an inspiration. There are points whereby, for our commitment and our vision for what we want to achieve, for a bit of hard work, a bit of hard reading, a bit of sort of brilliantly timed sort of comedy within a courtroom as well, and a well-argued case, won that grounds for judicial review in that space. And we've seen that in a number of points across the fight against fracking in England as well. And we need to keep going with that. We need to keep looking for those opportunities. But within that, making sure that communities are getting to share those stories as well. And that really brings me on to sort of the second key area, which is around the planning and legal system and how we can use that. And what I'll do perhaps a little later, I might hand over to, I can't see the gentleman at the back, I didn't catch your name. Jonathan, who was bravely going around the campsites, flagging to people what's going on with permitted development and the role that's potentially going to have in the fight against fracking, or the negative role that's potentially going to have in the fight against fracking. But we have a planning and legal system that should work for us, we can use to help sort of stop fracking. We should have locally made decisions for us. And so one of the things Friends of the Earth does is we have this training program called Power Up. And Power Up is all about how you can engage in the planning system and use that to help represent how you can use that to resist bad decisions for your local environment, but equally promote good decisions within your environment as well, and how you can do the sort of two ways to try and promote and transform it as well. But using that planning and those legal systems is crucial to be able to then leverage our power and resist and slow down the processes. So at Preston New Road, we might not have stopped fracking. It may well start in the coming weeks. But by resisting it month after month, year after year, by rolling process at the site, but through the legal and planning channels that we can use, it's delayed it again and again and again. And it costs the companies who want to do this fracking millions of pounds as they do that as well. Again, that makes such a difference in terms of slowing down the economics of fracking. We were told years ago that fracking would help us get cheaper energy through. It's clear now that actually renewable energy is much cheaper, and actually fracking is getting much more expensive. The economics of it are all warped out of shape, and the more we can use those legal and planning mechanisms to resist it, the more chance we're going to have to stop it as well. I have to point down my notebook's a lethal mode. I should not put my notebook down. And then finally, I think the third area that we need to work on far more, and it's one that we've struggled with, is how does fracking resonate when you don't live in a community affected by fracking? So for the communities in Lancashire and Rydale and Yorkshire and down in Sussex and Surrey, these are battles they've been having regularly for years. They're well versed in. But this is a national issue. This isn't just an issue for those communities. So how do we get others to engage in that? How do we spread the word? How do we go from this tent today and make sure we're all going back and challenging our MPs and our councillors to say, this cannot be allowed to happen? One of the interesting things, we had some polling out recently around the issue of permitted development. Now, permitted development is something the government's bringing in, which will allow basically ministers to give permission for fracking sites all around the country, essentially skipping out local decision makers, including local councils. And interestingly, 80% of Conservative councillors are against this policy, coming from their own party and central government as well. So there's widespread resistance to this as well. But I don't think many people are aware of it. Hands up if you'd heard of permitted development before that. Jonathan, I definitely know your one there. So hands up. So we've got probably, struggling to see, maybe a quarter of the room has heard about it. But it's a challenge that can make setting up drill sites for fracking so much easier. It's a real dangerous step, not only for sort of the lack of democratic accountability, but for the ease of which fracking could be allowed to happen across the country. And we need to challenge that, and we need to get the word out and spread the word that that's happening as well. Jonathan, I'm going to jump on you now, because I did mention, sorry, before, if you want to say a few words around permitted development as well, because Jonathan was slightly heroically in the rain up on the campsite, making his way around the tents, giving little hands out. So, Jonathan, do you want to just say quick couple of words on it?
You're talking about setting up resistance to fracking in areas that aren't under direct threat at the moment. I actually am chairperson of frack-free Cotswolds. Okay, we took the decision with people around us that we didn't like fracking and the prospect of fracking, but talking to people in our local area, I thought, oh, it'll never come here. And I said, hang on a minute. If this comes to Lancashire and this is viable, this will be coming everywhere. So don't just sit on your laurels. You need to set up and get organised. So in the Cotswolds, we have got organised and we have a group that's quite active. And we do go up to Preston New Road and other places, and we actively help other groups. And we try and encourage it happening everywhere else. Permitted development. Now, the resistance has been so good so far that the companies and the government have got really frustrated at what we've done to stop it. They've managed to take down a lot of the barriers in local planning to do this, but even so, all the groups have managed to, you know, frustrate them. So what the governor done now is they brought out this consultation over the summer recess. They sneaked it in just before, with all the Brexit things on, they sneaked in that they were going to cancel the Swansea Lagoon and they were going to have this permitted development, which means basically that an exploratory well now will only need the same planning that you have for a garden shed or a conservatory, which basically is none. You can just get on with it. So if we don't make enough fuss about this by the 25th of October, they will then push this forward. The second part of it is that they've realised that the local authorities and even Conservative councils, you say, aren't very happy about having mass fracking in their area. So the government had another committee looking into whether local authorities should actually have some say in this, and they came to the conclusion that local authorities should decide how many fracking sites should be allowed in their area. Well, the government, the present government, have now decided to overrule that, their own committee, and the ministerial decision will now be made as to how many fracking sites you have in your area. So if your local council say you only ought to have 20 in your area, say, the government can come along and say, no, well, actually, to make this economically viable, we have to have 500 in your area, and you won't be able to do anything about it. So it's really important that you let everybody know that this consultation is going on at the moment. I've got a little leaflet here and stickers, so everybody you know on Facebook and Twitter and things like that. There is a Facebook group called Let Communities Decide, if you want to join that. And there's a petition going around as well, I think, on 38 Degrees. So if just get involved if you can and let people know. Okay.
Thanks, Jonathan. Round of applause for Jonathan, for as brave as he was going around the campsite before. So we've got a situation where fracking's banned in three of the four nations. The last one to go is England. And fracking's likely started despite massive resistance from communities on the grounds, from the rolling protests at the sites, through legal and planning challenges, and through, hopefully increasingly, our voices out as well. But perhaps there's all sorts of things which are really disturbing about fracking and how fracking's being forced upon communities. But perhaps one of the most disturbing of all is the increasing attacks on democracy and our ability to and our right to protest and speak out against this. How many of you have heard of the Surrey and Sussex Six? Not many. So, the injunction. So UCOG, which is one of the companies that's operating in the Surrey Sussex area, so near Leaf Hill, sort of neck of the woods, took out an injunction which basically as implemented would prevent people from protesting in those spaces. And six quite incredible women have come together to challenge that and challenge that in the High Court, and they're resisting that as well. Fracking isn't just about releasing more carbon into the atmosphere. It's not about just about destroying our countryside. It's not just about power being taken away from the local decision makers. It's increasingly now about our right to protest and speak out against it as well. And these six women have taken UCOG on, taking on that injunction. And Friends of the Earth went to court with them on that. And we wanted to be a contributor in the case. We wanted to give information in. That was refused, so we've become a defendant in that case as well now in support of those six women. And so you've got a situation now where fracking is likely to happen. But we should see it as the death throes of a dying industry, something that doesn't need to take off, that can't take off. And there's stories of resistance from Preston New Road, from Rydell, from Surrey and Sussex areas as well. We should take them in good heart and good spirit and take lessons from Newbury, take lessons from Fidelma in Northern Ireland and her taking on sort of Durinium as well, and look at how we can take that on together as well. Now, I'll invite Sam onto stage in a minute, but first of all, I want to just invite you just to turn to the person next to you and perhaps share one thing you've learned from this session so far that you didn't know around the fight against fracking. So just 2 minutes, talk about one thing you've learned so far in this session. Okay, now let's just do a literal temperature check. How warm are people? Warm? Thumbs up for fairly warm? Okay, that's good. It's progress. Good. Good. We're warming up steadily, which is good. I'm going to invite Sam up now from Quakers. He's going to just share a little bit about what the Quakers have been doing on fracking as well.
So I'm going to start by sharing a story. I'm going to sit down because of the lights. I'm going to start by sharing a story that somehow, it's a long story, I won't tell that bit, train the most senior public order police commanders in the UK. And as part of that, I get to meet the head of security, the director of security of one of the big six energy companies once or twice a year. And in 2013, he told me, Sam, 2013, year of fracking. It's going to be the year we start. And I saw him in 2014. And I said, no fracking yet, mate. And he said, oh, well, you know, 2014, year of fracking. Same in 2015. And now, the first time I see him every year, he goes, yeah, this is the year. But it's 2018, so we've done really, really well there. I work for the Quakers in Britain. And we think faith has something to do with what's happening in the world and that we need to look after God's creation. And our national body called Meeting for Sufferings, which is really fun, which is looks at issues like this. And I'm going to now read part of a minute, which is probably a bit dry than what you were saying. But it's really important because for us, it's the national. This is a Quaker position that we are against fracking. So we have faith that we can tackle climate change and build a more sustainable future. But we know this is only possible if fossil fuels remain underground. At this time, we're particularly concerned about the expansion of fracking for shale gas. The UK needs to be investing in efficient and renewable energy and reducing demand, not in additional fossil fuels. Fracked gas is not the low-carbon solution some suggest it is, and is not compatible with tackling the climate crisis. It is destructive of the environment, the land and communities. Quakers call for a ban on new and intensive forms of fossil fuel extraction known as unconventional techniques, including fracking for shale gas and oil and underground coal gasification, which is good stuff because that's a religious position that we arrived at in a meeting for worship for business, but perhaps it could also be a Friends of the Earth policy statement. I want to tell you a bit about what Quakers are doing because there's Quaker meetings that happen at various fracking sites, including Broadford Bridge in Sussex, Kirby Misperton in North Yorkshire, and Preston New Road, where Quakers have worked with people of other faiths to put together a group called No Faith in Fracking. Time for more leaflets. Could I get you to start handing them out? So on the last Friday of every month, there is a kind of interfaith worship session outside the gates, usually in the road, blocking the road if it can, outside the Preston New Road fracking site, which is where fracking is probably going to start in the UK. And it's a really remarkable space to worship in. I haven't joined that meeting for worship, but I was up there for Reclaim the Power, which was a big direct action camp where we shut the fracking site for 48 hours and had the best party of my life. And it felt like the worship that we had in the road outside the gate felt like just revealing a little bit of the like a utopia, a bit of the Kingdom of Heaven in kind of the middle of the A583, which was incredibly powerful. And it also helps to change the dynamics between the police and security, having people of faith there doing something very profound rather than, you know, just normal protests. So I think there is a real role that faith communities can play in opposing fracking, and no faith in fracking perhaps is something which people can look to do.
Great. Thank you, Sam. We've talked about fracking, we've talked about resisting fracking, but what can we do? So I want you to try to kind of wiggle yourselves around, trying to form little groups of about four, maybe five, and perhaps share what are your ideas for resisting fracking. Perhaps you've done some campaigning on fracking already, perhaps you could share that. Perhaps you could share your experiences of campaigning on other issues for how you could potentially stop it. So just get yourselves into rough groups of four or five and just spend 5 minutes sharing with each other your thoughts and ideas. Right then, we'll give, if you begin to just wrap up your conversations and perhaps each group could just share something that they thought would be a good way of them getting involved. So I'm going to start over here, if that's okay, with the group nearest with Sam in it as well. And do you want to perhaps come up as well? Do you want to come up and quickly share it then, perhaps? Because then if you use the microphone, you'll be just make sure everyone's able to hear.
Well, two things we were just discussing. Well, the one that we last finished on was, what's your name? Sam. Yeah, he was talking about the praying when you're actually at a you know, protest site, and how the police just don't want to be involved in that or deal with it, but how also it draws people in to connect with what's going on where they might not feel so comfortable. And I think if we think about the demographic of most people that go to church, it's a bit different at Greenbelt, but certainly in the churches I go to, it's very much an older congregation, but it gives them a way in to be part of the protest. So that's a good point. And the other thing was one I mentioned to you earlier, was sign petitions, share them, yes, but they only count as one person. Write to your MPs, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Write to your MP, meet your MP, especially. Right, can I grab another group? How about this group down here in front? You guys be up for sharing something you talked about?
We talked about a bit range of stuff, but I think one of the things was about sort of, like you mentioned, tea, having cakes and tea, but like building community around, like, and the resistance also being a way of building something positive in deeper relationships, deeper community, and that can sort of sustain you for the long haul.
And creative stuff as well.
Yeah, being creative around it as well. I fully endorse, I'm very supportive of as much tea and cake as possible. In any campaigning, but crucially, I think, because it is that space where you can come together and form the community, which, as you say, in campaigns that last years and years and years, and when they're in your community as well, that can be just so sustaining for everyone's well-being. Is another group willing to share? Jonathan, I can see your hand going. Do you want to come forward so we can use the microphone so everyone can hear?
I just shared with what I did in the local area in the Cotswolds. I was very concerned about fracking, so I decided to just set up something myself. You don't have to do it in as big a town as I set it up. I did it in Cirencester and set up a meeting in a hall and just put out a lot of advertising. The main thing is getting all the advertising right first. Okay, you could probably do it in a local community, a little village, or if you're in a smaller community, it's a bit easier. You've got to put it, all the different methods of the press and getting into your local little magazine and things like that. Give yourself about 2 months before you actually have the, if that's enough time this time, I don't know. But it was about 2 months when I did it. When I actually did it, we got over 100 people turned up, and you get pro-frackers as well as anti-frackers coming in. We're actually going to put on one again locally in Cirencester soon. It's called Is Fracking Coming? If you want any help on sort of, or advice on it, I've got these leaflets here from our group. You can just contact us and contact me. Oh, sorry. And the other thing is when you're contacting your local MP and councillors, it does really count. I have been a councillor for 4 years at one time. And if you get letters from any of your constituents, it means more because you take notice of them, because most people don't write. So don't think it doesn't make a difference, because it really does. But you tend to get to know who are the ones that tend to write to you. So the most effective ones are the ones that don't write very often. Okay. So if you're somebody that writes all the time, that will be taken for granted. But if it's people that aren't always writing, they do take notice.
Does email work, or does it
Email
spam?
Email can work, yes. Yeah. So do it email as well. Yeah.
Great. So there's another group willing. Got a gentleman over there. You might have to come a little bit over towards us, I'm afraid. So I'm a bit scared of breaking the mic.
We talked, following on previously, about writing to an MP, our MPs. I chair a climate group in our area, just outside Nottingham, and got a good reply from our, as it was, Labour MP. And he was quite up to date with everything and entirely in support of what we were doing. And yet a colleague of mine in our group had the reverse from her Tory MP, who supports the line all the time. So, yes, I agree that we should write personally.
Great. Any of the other groups? I can't quite see what we're up to. We've got one over there, yeah. Pass over to you.
Okay, well, we had a good discussion, but one of the things that we thought was that people needed really positive, proper education in what fracking does to the environment. Very clear, concise, and accurate, because certainly members of my family kind of just think that's hearsay.
I endorse what was said about MPs. I've just moved to an area for the first time with a Tory MP, and I'm looking forward to getting stuck into him. But I'd also, and I loved your story about the Northern Ireland. And I'd also commend if people haven't read Alastair McIntosh's book Soil and Soul. It's a brilliant book about how engaging with creation and spirituality enabled him to take on a planned super quarry in the Outer Hebrides and stop that happening. Superb.
Great, thank you. So on simple information around the impact of fracking, I certainly know on Friends of the Earth's website, there's got some brief background stuff on that, which is really easily digestible, probably take you about 90 seconds to read. It gives you like the real key parts you need to know, but there's lots of other stuff out there you can look around. It's lots of different organisations working on it as well, so do explore around what would suit your family or friends best in terms of what they want to look at.
But also, as part of resistance, we need to be getting that out. Not just me with my family. It needs to be out there amongst those people who don't believe.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's about sort of potentially if you can meet others in your community. Certainly Friends of the Earth, we have staff around the country whose job it is to work with different communities to help bring people together, and makes all the difference. And going out into your perhaps your local market or your local community, having a store, sharing information, perhaps initially getting some petition signatures there and then as well, and being seen and present in that space, I think is really key, so that, as you say, others are hearing about that message as well. Any final ones from anyone else? Yes.
I was just going to add one thing about that sort of diversity of responses to fracking, because I think one thing campaigns can be using with sort of big success to sort of achieve get regulars before is to sort of have people going to prison or taking big risks and sort of displaying that. And that's something that sort of the Extinction Rebellion is going to do in sort of end of October, early November, trying to sort of up the game a bit and sort of declare a bit of a more national rebellion against both climate change and ecological breakdown, and sort of stopping fracking or sort of harmful policies will be part of that. And also discussing other things, sort of how to use the sort of frame of the sort of local threat as another way to sort of bring people into the bigger struggle. Is there anything else I forgot?
Great, thank you. So put your hands up if you've got an idea for what you could do about fracking from today's session. Do you think you've got an idea? Yes? No? Few hands? Okay, so the really easy thing that you can do straight away is go and see Jonathan at the end. He can give you a little slip of paper about it. The second easy thing you do is you can visit the Frenzy of Stull, which is over just across the way there in the village, to do that. And then keep talking to each other, keep getting inspired. There's lots of petitions easily available. They're online. You can go onto Frenzy Earth's website, 38 Degrees. There's a number of others as well that which are open. And they could give you the inspiration for perhaps writing to your MP, not just doing that petition as well. It could be your starting point for that. Going to come to a close now. I want to say a massive thanks for joining us this afternoon, for talking about fracking, for going through it all. Oh, yeah. Jonathan, do you want to say how you respond to the consultation on permitted development?
Contact your councillor, contact your MP. There is a community society that page.
So. So Frenzy Earth, if you go on our website, there's easy to actions where you can respond into the consultation through that. If you want to get more involved, there's contact details on there, so you can give us a call and we can put you in touch with our local organiser to help support more action on that as well. Yeah, and that gives you all the more information on that as well. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much, everyone, for this afternoon. I feel really bad for like us ending because we have to go outside into the wind and rain and cold as well, but have a great Greenbelt, have a great afternoon, and thank you for joining this afternoon.